The following program contains content that some listeners may find upsetting and is intended for a mature audience. Now on Documentary News Talk, produced by independent producer Susan Dennehy, Irish travellers share their memories of school and reveal the racism that existed in the Irish education system in The White Line.
Yeah, I remember my first day of school, and it was a traveller-only school. So actually what would happen is you'd be collected from the site. So you'd go around to all the sites to collect all the traveller children. It would be boys and young girls. It was a huge school, but it was divided. There was, say, at the back of the school, there was three separate rooms for travellers. So travellers come in the back way and the settled kids come in the front way.
The word apartheid, translated, literally means to set apart or to separate. We usually associate apartheid with the racist regime that existed in South Africa for much of the 20th century.
There was a divide between you and the settled child. So there was white lines, you know, like tape going across. So the settled kids were on one line over on one side of the yard, and travellers were on the other side of the yard.
It isn't widely known, but Ireland had its own version of apartheid. Not that long ago, the state education system segregated Irish children based on their ethnicity.
You weren't allowed to look at a settled child. And any time you went very near that white line, because you know, as a young child, you were very kind of suspicious and wondering, what does a settled kid do? And if you were caught near that white line, actually, you were slapped with a ruler.
From the 1960s up until the 2000s, many Irish traveller children attended segregated classes in schools where they were not allowed to mix with settled children.
I did once. And, so I went to the white line and they were playing Scotch. And she said, would you like to join? And I said, yes. And so I joined and playing Scotch, and then the nun came over and dragged me. So I never went near that white line again.
In addition to being isolated, traveller children in these classes received little or no formal teaching or learning. Often ignored and humiliated, they were treated as second-class citizens in what was a state-sanctioned system.
Obviously, on a personal level, I went to schools that were segregated, and that as a traveller you would be separated from the general population. And I have a number of examples of that. It wasn't just one. It wasn't that this was a story of one school, and therefore it was an exception. This was a systematic approach in which traveller children were segregated based on identifying as an Irish traveller and put into a school system, particularly for travellers.
The nature of the discrimination experienced by Irish travellers in Irish schools is shocking. It is similar to how other Indigenous people across the world have been treated, and it has been repeatedly called out as state-sanctioned racism by the Irish traveller community.
I remember I met somebody from South Africa, a good friend of mine, and she was in a segregated school. And it was just incredible that her story and my story were just so similar. The only difference was I'm white, Irish traveller, and racism seems to be something that, you know, happens everywhere, you know, internationally, but it never happened in Ireland.
That was Bernard Joyce of the Irish Traveller Movement. My name is Christine Collins, and I'm an actor and an Irish traveller. I am 35 years old, and although school had its challenges for me as an Irish traveller, school for my parents' generation was brutal and humiliating. But why were Irish schools segregated in the first place? The simple answer is that this was part of the Irish government's plan to settle and assimilate Irish travellers. We see this in black and white in the Commission on Itinerancy report that was published in 1963. That report recommended a system of special traveller schools and a creation of special traveller classes. The experience of the traveller children who went to those schools and classes remains largely unknown and unacknowledged. These are their stories.
Hi, my name is Max Casey. I'm from Limerick City. I was born and reared in Limerick City. Actually, when I was born, my father didn't actually have a cot for me, so we lived in a wagon. And actually, he made a cot out of a horse's collar for me, a bale of straw, and that was my cot, and I was reared in there. So I am a proud member of the traveller community.
Mags Casey Ryan lives in Limerick, and she is the coordinator of the Tipperary Rural Traveller Project, where she has developed and runs a family learning programme, an education programme for traveller children.
I suppose growing up as a young traveller girl, I was very, very happy in the community that I grew up with. And I suppose no money in the world could buy what I had. I had a father that was my king, and he taught me about morals, principles, integrity, honesty, loving and caring.
The Family Learning Programme aims to provide traveller children with the support, self-esteem and skills that they need to achieve their potential.
My father wanted me to always have a very good education, so I always tried to fulfil his expectation of me, and I wanted a good education as well.
Mags and her siblings were the first generation in her family to go to school.
My mother and father never went to school in their life. Neither could read or write. But my father was extremely intelligent. And the experience we had at the time was Mary Robinson was the president of Ireland, and she'd come to visit South Hill and our site, which was Clonmong, South Hill in Limerick. And my father had a very, I suppose the word was, you know, he really honoured Mary Robinson. He really respected her and held her in a very high regard. And she said, "Mr. Casey, you'll make sure that the young girls will get a good education." And I said, "Yes, madam, I will."
Mags's father kept his promise to Mary Robinson. And in 1977, at 4 years of age, Mags started at the Salesian Primary School in Limerick, one of many traveller-only schools throughout the country at the time.
Yeah, and the education I got was, you know, very basic. The levels of expectations were not big. You know, really an Anna Barry book, a child, if you could be in a class, you could be 5 or 6, and there could be a young boy or girl there, 12 or 13. Everybody was at the one level, Anna Barry books and colouring in.
Not all traveller children were in traveller-only classes, but it was difficult to enrol a traveller child in a mainstream class. Margaret Collins went to St. Joseph's Primary School in Navan from 1985 to 1992. Her mother ensured she was in a mainstream class, but she remembers the traveller-only class in her school.
No, they did separate the traveller children from the settled in the yard, the classrooms. There was one classroom that was specially for travellers, aged 5 to 14. Once they didn't leave the room, they could do what they wanted in that room. Mess about, you know, play games. Where when you're in the normal classroom, you're very structured. Your day is structured. You have a teacher there until you go home. When you go into this class, even at the time, it was chaos. Do you know, like the desks weren't in the pattern that was in every other part of the school. Do you know, there was two and two and two, and they were all lined rigidly in 3 or 4 lines across the classroom, and they could not be moved. In this classroom, they were all over the place. Do you know, it was just chaos. But at the time, it was fun and games for the children who was going in there. Of course, like, you'd do anything to get out of class when you were younger. You'd sweep the halls if you had to, you know, just to get that break. None of us ever wanted to be in class all day reading and writing. So, of course, this appealed.
The irony is that most traveller children preferred the traveller-only class. At least here, they were among their own, and they didn't have to face the racist attitudes of the settled children and teachers.
In my own experience, I noticed it around first class, so it would have been about 7, 8. Every desk that time, there was two students per desk. 90% of the time, we get to pick who we want to sit beside. I was put to the back on my own a lot of the time. If nobody wanted to sit beside me, that was okay. But at that time, I was only travelling in my class. So yeah, it all depended on the day, you know, it depended how the settled girls were feeling, if they wanted to sit with you or not. If they didn't want to sit with you, like, they were allowed to not sit with you. But it kind of be brought out in a way that having this amount of space for you is great. But it wasn't. You're on your own. Like, you were still on your own, even though you're in a class full of pupils. You know, it's like everything. You know it's not right. Like, you're young. As I said, you're only a child. And you know it's not right. But, you know, you get through the day. And because you didn't question people of authority, so you just went with it.
The first children from my community to go to school were particularly vulnerable within a system designed by and for the settled population. Owen Ward is a 63-year-old. He went to school in Tuam in Galway from 1966 until 1977.
Right, my name is Owen Ward, from Tuam all my life. As a matter of fact, I was born in Gilmerton Road, and I didn't find out until a good few years back, when you get the birth certificate, I was born in the front room of the house. And I was the only one born in the front room, all the rest of them were born in the hospital. And the other ones were born on the roadside. Mother died early, before I was 8 years of age. There was three younger than me, and there was eight older than me. But I didn't know when I was growing up that the difference in me. My uncle had never talked about the dim in us. He never says, listen, we're members of the traveling community. And that was never spoken in my house. I think it's very small-minded people that will come along and talk about the neighbour or talk about somebody else. You know what I mean? Small-minded people talk about people. Good-minded and decent-minded people will talk about ideas and plans. I'd love to say that I had a good experience in school. No, I had a better experience in secondary than I did have in primary school. I mean, when you're a child, the world is off small. You know what I mean? And everybody around it is very, very big.
Owen was in the traveller only class in the Mercy Convent School until first class. Then in 1968, he moved to the Christian Brothers School in Tuam. Traveller children were not segregated here, but Owen continued to be isolated and mistreated.
You land in school, books, never had any. Now, in the Mercy I had, all I was going up into the Brothers, all I had was two copies and pens. Pencils, that was it. No, there were no wires allowed, of course. But when I went into the school after the weekend, it was all the children get ratified, and you have the smart over here, you have this guy, this guy, you have another row, you have four rows, sometimes three, and then you have the seat down the back. Now, the seat down the back, or the table down the back, had four seats, two to the side, facing each other, not allowed to look at the blackboard, not allowed to be distracting the students. You could hear, there you are, you went to school, and you're looking at each other, and you have a blank piece of paper, and here, draw something, or write something, or do something. But not fond memories after them, I must say. Indeed, horrible memories sometimes.
So from 1963 onwards, we see that segregation was systematic, and the traveller-only schools and classes were normalised. If a traveller child did find themselves in a mainstream class, they often experienced persistent racism daily. But there were also schools that refused to take traveller children at all.
So, my name is Bernard Joyce. I am the director of the Irish Traveller Movement. I was born an Irish traveller. I live as an Irish traveller. My family, my father's family, we lived on the roadside, and as part of that, we lived within our community. I just want to start and say, look, I really believe the importance of education. I believe it can liberate, free people. It has the opportunity to transform people's lives. And I know that my experience of education was very different.
At age four, Bernard remembers going by bus from his home in Finglas to a traveller-only school in Dublin city centre. This was the first of four Irish traveller-only schools he would attend. One of these was a traveller-only class in St Joseph's Primary School in Finglas, which was an all-girls school. This was a uniquely humiliating experience for young traveller boys in 1983.
I was in a school where there was a special class, and you had a special class within an all-girls school because the boys' school wouldn't take the traveller boys in. And it was really shocking to see in some areas that schools that were for boys wouldn't take traveller boys in. And that's really how embedded that level of racism was, where we found ourselves in all-girls schools. It was really difficult because now you're in this class and you might be the only boy or a number of boys, but you wouldn't have any interaction across the school. So you can imagine how people would feel. And particularly even, I recall that you'd have different play times. So even within that, in some cases you might even see a settled child. You'd come out at a certain time, they would go in, you'd come out. So you're out of sight, out of mind. So you weren't seen or heard. And, you know, and there was that sense of like, they really wanted you to be completely detached. And so it was always my world and the sort of